I do now want to see, like, a Skrillex as Jean Valjean in, like, the EDM dubstep Les Mis.
Please don't say words, because someone will do that.
Like, Wub Day More? Is that anything?
Absolutely not.
All right, cool. Let's move on then. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, Netta?
I'm also fine. It is Tuesday night. It is 11 p.m. I have a glass of rosé with an orange slice in it. I feel extremely fancy. I'm ready to talk about some figure skating. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're nearing the end of the year, and we're also nearing the end of the Grand Prix series, because the Grand Prix final was officially canceled. It had been kind of, like, indefinitely postponed, and now they've officially canceled it, which, like, is fine. It makes sense. I honestly have no idea how they were going to figure out who was going to go.
Yeah.
So.
It kind of doesn't. It was never going to make sense, I guess. I think they looked at the events that did happen, and they were like, this was never a Grand Prix the way we're used to it. So it makes no sense to pretend that we want to get, like, a normal final out of it.
Yeah, but we did get a final event, and that was the NHK Trophy. And we are here to discuss that. It was a crazy event. It was so nice to see so many of our favorites from Team Japan, yeah. Many of whom we hadn't seen in a long time. And obviously some notable people were not there. So do you want to just dive into it?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Let's start with men, because I think ladies is, like, a better note to end on.
All right, let's talk about boys.
Boys. In third place was a really pleasant surprise. We had Lucas Tsuyoshi Honda.
Yeah, he did one of those things that we keep seeing this year where the bronze was completely surprising and unpredictable and kind of exciting to witness.
Yeah, I mean, he basically came out raw the fucking short program.
Yeah.
In a way that everyone really sucked in the short. I gotta be honest, it was like one of the gnarliest short programs at an event I have seen in quite some time. But this kid, he skated first, I think, and just no one could catch him.
He kept just leading for a very long time, and it was so funny to, like, see, like, commentators and everyone on Twitter go from, like, oh, like, Lucas is leading right now, to, like, Lucas is still in the lead, this is happening, because yeah, the short was just overall a messy bad time. Everyone was having trouble jumping, and I'm not gonna say it was not entertaining, because it was, but I don't think I would, like, rewatch it voluntarily for fun, you know?
Yeah, the thing is that they were jumping and they were popping, and when they are jumping and popping, they are jopping. And that was, there was quite a lot of joppery happening.
There was so much joppery. There were some missed combos. There were several single axels. Just a whole mess.
Sidebar, I don't know if any of our listeners are watching His Dark Materials on HBO. Actually, I can't remember if it's called The Golden Compass or His Dark Materials. I don't know what they called the show, but it's the show that's based on the His Dark Materials series. Andrew Scott plays a character in it who is, like, a mystery man, and he goes by many names in different countries, and, like, one of them, as I pronounced it mentally when I read the books, was Jopari, but in the show, they pronounce it Joppery, and every single time I, like, pee my pants laughing, because it's, like, this serious thing. It's, like, Lin-Manuel and Andrew Scott, and they're like, Mr. Lin-Manuel's like, Mr. Joppery, can I talk to you for a second? And I just lose my mind. I'm sorry. I just needed to throw that out there. If anybody else is watching that show, then, like, you know what I mean.
I'm going to legally change my name to Mr. Joppery. The Joppery, Mr. Joppery aside, I think this worked out great for Lucas, because it was, he just, like, made his path towards the free skate so much easier. He was third in the short, and then he just had to, like, be about as good in the free to podium, and he pulled it off.
Yeah, he was sixth in the free, which, like, you know, I mean, normally wouldn't get you on the podium, but it was kind of a freaking crazy event. And it's nice to set yourself up in the short and then you have a little wiggle room. So I also want to say he works with Mia Hamada and her team, and his choreography is all done by Kathy Reed. Mm. And I think that I always get excited when something nice happens for her because she's been through it with losing her brother and everything. So I was like, oh, good for Kathy. She's got some nice choreo out there that's doing well. It was like a James Bond and like a...
Yeah.
Oh, the first one was weird. The first one was like SOS from like... okay, so it's in French, and I want to say un terrien would be like an earthling, but let me look this up. SOS by an earthling in distress. And it was like, was it vaguely sci-fi in nature? It was a very bizarre song, I remember.
I respect that. I think showing up and being like, earthling in distress, please help me, is a very valid way to work yourself to a Grand Prix podium in 2020.
I always want everything to be like sci-fi space themed, in case you didn't know that about me. So I was very stoked about that. So good for Lucas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we'll get to it when we talk about the ladies, but it was a similar deal with Rino Matsuike, who would have been in the Junior Grand Prix, but then made a big splash at this event and normally wouldn't have. And I think that's been sort of a theme with bronze medals at these events, weirdly enough. So good for Lucas. He did eke out a lead past my husband, Keiji Tanaka. But you know what? I'm going to say that's okay because Keiji, I say that with love. But, you know, they can't all be winners. In second place with the silver medal, we have Kazuki Tomino.
Yes! My beautiful son. My gorgeous, beautiful son. I felt like I had not seen him in a billion years. Not to be dramatic, but it felt like so long. I still think that, well, both, but I still think that his short program is masterful. It's fucking art. It's great.
Yeah, and he got a new costume.
Yeah, he did.
That's a little less pastel, a little more sparkly, I believe, if memory serves.
Yeah.
But it's the same program that we love of the, like, kooky white stripes ballet, Wayne McGregor, you know, incredible choreography by Misha Gay, fellas, and likewise with the free skate, same Moulin Rouge, which we know and love.
His Moulin Rouge continues to be one of the best Moulin Rouges in the history, and I'm willing to fight people about that. Like, if you really wanted to fight me.
It's one of those things where it's like, if it had only been one season, then I think it could have been like, oh, it was really good, but people forget about it. But the fact that he's doing it again, I'm like, now people will really, like, remember it, and I'm glad.
People will fucking know, goddammit. Yeah, he didn't have, like, the cleanest time, if we're being completely honest. But then again, like, no one did, really.
Yeah, who did? Who among us?
Yeah, I'm looking at the protocols from free skates, and God bless him, he was third in the free, and there were so many asterisks and exclamation marks in this here protocol, but it's fine. I think he sells it on performance, and again, it worked out, so I'm not gonna be too critical of him, because I'm also very, very proud.
Nothing makes me happier than when Japanese Nationals is on Christmas, because I feel like it wasn't last year, and the year before it was, and it just makes the holidays so much better.
Yeah, there is something to putting on some skating on Christmas, you know?
Especially because, like, this year, Christmas might be a little bit low-key for many of us, and we don't always have all the same traditions and family members available to us, so it'll be something fun to, like,
stay
keep track
home
of. And
don't go anywhere and just watch fucking Japanese Nationals.
It'll be the 2-year anniversary of when we first saw the documentary about Benoit Richaud and Daisuke Takahashi drinking wine on a mountaintop.
That's an international holiday. That's the most important documentary of my life.
I have two birthdays. I have the day I was born, and then I have the day that I saw the documentary of Benoit Richaud and Daisuke Takahashi drinking wine on a mountaintop.
I measure my life in a before and after. It's a transformative moment.
We'll talk about Daisuke in a little bit too, because he was a notable entry in this NHK trophy. But in the meantime, congratulations to Kazuki. And I also want to say that I say his name Kazuki, but I think that name is pronounced Katsuki, and it's fucking me up because I I don't know anymore. Like, I thought I spoke Japanese, but...
I don't speak... I'm comfortable saying that I don't speak Japanese. And also, I'm pretty convinced that we butcher figure skaters' names much less than most people in this commentating industry.
Lord help me, this announcer drove me absolutely fucking insane. And I'm sorry, but I have this, I hope this isn't, like, problematic of me. If it is, just go ahead and cancel me. But I can't tell apart the voices of the different Englishmen who commentate How for the dare ISU. You? They just all sound the same to me. I'm sorry. But so I couldn't tell if this was the one that I really hated from Four Continents or if this was a more innocuous one, but I didn't like this one. And I feel like he's been doing the whole Grand Prix series or a lot of it, and I don't like how he's so
focused on winning.
Yeah, he's too focused on winning. Like, when Ted commentates every single skater, it's like he really takes the time to take into consideration, like, what would be this skater's goal. Like, obviously, yeah, if they can't place top six, you know, whatever, but maybe they want a personal best, or maybe they want to just, like, make a good impression, or maybe they want to, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, he really takes into account every story. And, like, this guy is just like, well, won't be good enough. And it's like, well, yeah, no shit. Most people won't be good enough. But, like, it doesn't mean it was a failure, yeah, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's just, like, a different perspective on what's important. I will be honest. I do not remember anything remarkable about his commentating on this event. The one thing I do remember is that for one of the ladies, and I don't remember who, but he described someone skating as, like, very sensual and mature or something. And I was like, sir, what are you doing? Like, let's talk about Yuma, who is not a horrible man.
Not a horrible man. A very great man. he's in seniors this year for show.
Yeah.
Cut that I said that. I didn't. Why the fuck did I say faux show? I'm, like, so fucking out of my mind today. He's in seniors properly this year. And he did a fantastic job. He absolutely slaughtered the competition. He came in with a massive lead. He also had not a perfect time, which is unusual for him because we haven't seen him have a difficult time in any event since, like, last year's Junior Grand Prix final.
Yeah. Well, he had, like, a shaky time in the short. It was his axle, which was just, it was a single and it didn't work at all. Just did not happen. Mr. Japri was there. But then his free was, like, compared to the kind of messy fun time everyone was having, his free was almost perfect. It was very, very, very good. And the score difference that he ended up walking out of this event with is respectable. He was, like, 50 points ahead of everyone else, all things considered, at the very end.
I need to talk about his short program music, because, like, if we couldn't have breakfast in Baghdad again, I'm glad we had this, because it's just people making noises. It's called vocussion, and, like, the part of me that is, like, a serious classical vocalist and, like, studied music theory and, like, has a degree and all this stuff is, like, wants to be like, yes, okay, of course, it's fascinating and it's experimental. And then, like, the part of me that hasn't been in school in a long time and is, like, kind of a dirtbag is just, like, laughing her ass off because it sounds funny and silly.
I think that's just your experimental theater MFA outweighing your classical training.
Yeah, it's just, it's called vocussion.
Yeah.
And I need you all to just listen to it if you haven't already.
It's like
I could
yo-yo
never
ma.
Do it justice.
It's
Lori Nichol did a beautiful job choreographing it. It just is batshit compared to a lot of the other stuff out there. Just I love it when things are weird.
It's a definite choice.
It's a definite choice. I was decorating the Christmas tree with my mom the other day, and, like, I kept finding all the ugliest and weirdest ornaments and putting them on the tree instead of the nice ones, and I was like, I'm sorry, but this is just, like, my aesthetic preference. I just like it when things are strange.
Just, like, weirdly performance art, Christmas tree. That's an aesthetic.
Yeah, so the vocussion short program from Yuma is the weird pine cone craft from 1977 ornament of short programs.
I mean, we have an ongoing thing about, like, Dada and like experimental shit on ice. And I think he's just making a very solid claim that he would like to join, you know, the ranks of Brandon Carey in terms of just bizarre. What I want to know is, okay, here we go. What I want to know is when someone skates to like, I'm trying to think of an example. Like last year, when Maddie and Evan did their Egyptian dance, they like talked about it somewhere and were like, oh yeah, we were like listening to music on the beach and this came on our Spotify and we thought it was fun. I want to know, how the fuck do you get to vocation? Like between Yuma and Lori Nicole, who was like listening to this and being like, you know what, this is great, we're gonna do a program to this. Like, how do you arrive there?
I would argue that if you are Lori Nicole and you're a professional figure skating choreographer, your Spotify algorithm probably takes you into the weirdest fucking wormhole corners of the internet. Because can you imagine, like, what the algorithm is like?
Yeah.
I don't even understand it. I listened to a lot of BTS this year, and then Spotify gave me a Korean rock band called Dick Punks the other day. So I don't understand how it works, but I have a new favorite band now. I think that was just a gift and a blessing. Yeah, that was just a Christmas miracle. There is a Korean rock band called Dick Punks, and their music is actually pretty catchy and fun. So there's a free recommendation for all of you from Spotify. Not spawns.
What if I skate to a song by Dick Punks in the 2021 season?
I need you to work a little harder to get your doubles so you can do a Dick Punks program for me.
Wow. That sure is motivation. Yeah. All right. I will...
Yeah, speaking of music choices, I want to talk about The Free, because it was Avatar by James Cameron.
It was damn near perfect in terms of performance. It was honestly like the kind of thing that is history for a skater's career. However, imagine, if you will, you're about to win a Grand Prix gold. You're outperforming everyone else in the field by like 40-something odd points in The Free. But you're dressed in head-to-toe forest green, including boot covers, skating to the Avatar soundtrack. Like,
I wonder. I think, you know, I know that maybe whoever did the costume was like, we're not doing blue, it's too on the nose. And normally I would say I appreciate a slightly deeper cut, so yes. But I think in this case, this could have been a very rare opportunity for, like, an earnest, sincere Catboy on Ice moment. And I'm upset that we were robbed
full,
of that.
Full, like, tail and everything.
Yeah, Catboy Revolution 2020. Like, I don't understand why we didn't just get, like, a blue cat person skating. When else are we going to get that?
I don't know if I support anything you just said, but I'm also not sure about this Christmas fantasy situation.
You know, it was a very environmentalist film, if I remember correctly, so he could be representing nature. But then I'm like, I don't actually remember if any of the fauna on that planet was green, because it was a wacky fantasy alien world.
Yeah, it's like iridescent. Yeah. If you show me this costume out of context and you're like, do you want to guess what this skater is skating to? I would either say like fucking like the Elf soundtrack or like Riverdance. I would not be like, oh, yeah, this is for sure Avatar.
So I know that you just said the Elf soundtrack, but for a minute I heard it as the Alf soundtrack.
That is a furry on ice that I would love to see. Are you kidding me? That's brilliant. Fucking old time rock and roll.
Yeah, and do you remember when they did that actually on
Puppets and Muppets?
Yeah, and there was one where it's like there's an actual song on the ALF official CD called Take Me, parentheses, ALF
out to the ball game. Take Me, parentheses, ALF out to NHK Trophy.
I want that to be the episode title, but we can't because it's too stupid.
This is our show. Noah's going to stop me. I think I miss Brandon Carey too much this year, but I think after the phenomena and everything else that he's given us, he is the only hope I have for someone to do the Elf soundtrack on ice.
You know, yeah, okay, you got your golden NHK, son. But like, did you skate to Alf? No. So I don't want to hear about it.
I'm just imagining someone in like a full, like realistic Alf costume, like with a helmet and everything.
Maybe Alf should be a mascot, because the mascots at NHK were fantastic. Yes. And this seems as good a time as any to talk about them, because I think in lieu of like a traditional plushie corner, NHK did have much better hygiene and safety precautions than Ristelecom. As far as I know, we don't know of anyone who contracted COVID at NHK. Is that correct? So
yeah, we haven't heard.
Yeah, so, you know, everyone wore their masks. And you know who else wore their masks? The plushies. There were plushies mascots in the Kiss and Cry who all had masks on. And the mascots came out and did a beautiful ice dance number that made me feel like I was on drugs.
Yeah, I always appreciate a mascot skating moment because it's always just so unhinged and special. There was a yellow bear in a pink beret. And also a bunny next to her. But I enjoyed the one with the beret. I think it's very special to be a little bear with a mask and a beret.
And my homeboy Domo-kun was there, right?
Of course he was.
So the thing about that is, I think, first of all, he does have an elf-like energy.
Please elaborate.
He has kind of a rough and tumble, chaotic, like, I'm cute, but wait. Am I actually, like, an asshole kind of energy?
Wait, are you trying to claim that Alf is cute?
Yeah, he's, like, fluffy and, like, has, like, a cartoonish, plushy aspect to him. You don't think Alf is cute?
I don't. I think he's cool and interesting, and I would like to be his friend, but I'd never describe him as cute.
I would never describe him as cool. I would never be like, you know who's fucking cool? Alf.
I don't know. Alf was one of the only American sitcoms we had when I was growing up, like dubbed. And
that is
like,
so unfortunate.
It's a very specific point of reference to me as a child who grew up in Bulgaria in the early to mid 90s. Him opening his like little kitchen window and like showing up and doing things is like very specifically iconic for me. And I think he's very cool. I do not think he's cute.
I can't breathe. I wish. I really truly believe at this point that we will not talk about any individual competitor at this event any longer total than we have already discussed Alf.
Welcome to the Alf P podcast.
This is an Alf podcast now.
No, oh my god, like, do you think someone is doing an Alf podcast, like a watch through where they comment every single episode or something?
They have to. And if not, we should, because I don't know if I've ever seen a full episode of Alf. If you want us to listen to Alf or watch Alf and then talk about it on Patreon or something, let us know. As a seasoned veteran of Alf and a newcomer to Alf together.
Yes, I know the deep Alf lore.
You're a big name fan in the Alf fandom. Anyway, if you listen to us like for the figure skating, I'm so sorry. Let's get back to it. I did want to say that one more thing about Domo-kun though. I forget his name every time. And I have to Google every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten, because anyone who was around on the early internet knows that in like America, like we didn't really have Domo-kun as like a character. He was just in that meme, every time you masturbate, God kills a kitten. So the amount of times I Google that is directly correlated to the amount of times that Japan has a figure skating competition.
I would love to see the Google analytics of how many times this phrase is Googled versus when Japanese figure skating is happening.
It can't just be me. There's got to be a spike. And if you don't know figure skating, you must be baffled. So that's a fun little quirk about the internet.
Oh my god. Shall we? Let's do honorable mentions. Megan, talk to me about your husband.
Oh my god. You know, normally I would love to, and it had been so long since I saw him that I was like, you know, I'm gonna be honest, like, I had a real big K-pop phase over the summer. I've been simping for other people. And, like, I saw him again and it all just came flooding back. And I was like, oh my god, he's so good looking. So,
you had a little Celine moment. It all came back to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
When you pop your quad cell and when you pop your quad toe.
Carry on.
I just have to admit that it's all coming back to me. All right, so Yeah, it was a tough one for him. It just, you know, a lot of things popped, a lot of things, you know, downgraded. He has a new Hip Hip Chin Chin costume, which is fantastic.
Can we talk about the never-ending saga of him figuring out if he wants long or short sleeves?
Yeah, you know, I respect a man who can do both.
Yeah, I think long sleeve but very, like, full-length slit is a definite choice. And I respect it.
It's very princess. I'm trying to get pictures so I can, like, refresh my memory.
I also respect attempting triple axel twice in the second half of your free skate and popping both of them into singles. That's also a definite choice.
Something that I'm now absolutely kicking myself over and should be a complete testament to how badly the year 2020 has eroded my brain function is that I completely forgot until this very moment that he did a exhibition to Evangelion soundtrack and like did it in like full like Unit One green and purple fantasy costume. And I need to find the video of that and watch it right away. I can't believe I feel so unprepared for this now. I can't believe that I forgot it existed. That's like the coalescence of everything that I love in this world.
Is the Christmas special that we're gonna record just you talking about Evangelion?
Yeah. Oh my god, no. That's like a, that would need to be like a 700 hours. I could teach a whole college course on Evangelion. This morning, in fact, I reenacted parts of it with my Animal Crossing husk and some toy robots that I recently acquired from the Nook's Cranny. And took some pictures and sent them to people. Don't out me. So.
I did not receive pictures. How dare you?
I'm sorry. I will send you one right away. I thought I did, but I guess I must have,
you have not
forgotten. Friendship ended with Netta, I guess.
Yeah, you just have your fucking Animal Crossing robots now, and you don't need my friendship. I get it. I understand.
We mentioned a little bit earlier Kao Miura, who
yeah.
kind of came out of nowhere, eighth in the short and then second in the free with his little...
It's Last Samurai, yeah. His short is another feeling good, the Bublé version.
Shout out to Jackie.
Shout out to Jackie. And then he just showed up in the free. I guess, like, when you're eight in the short, you have absolutely nothing to lose at that point. Like, I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting anything from him, because he was, like, in juniors last year, and I just didn't, he was never, like, on my podium list for this event or anything. And then his free was so good.
Also, Shinsato was there, and while he didn't make it onto the podium, you know, he's still going strong. I consider him right up there with Yuma Kageyama, and I think he just isn't as solid under pressure. Shinsato won the Junior Grand Prix over Yuma last year, though.
Yeah, I think it's just about, like, acquiring the skill to not, like, let nerves overwhelm him, I guess. I don't know. As a performer, I'm, like, a firm believer in, like, you have to have a little bit of stage fright and a little bit of nerves because it shows that you care. But there is a way to harness that. In Shun's personal life section of his Wikipedia, it starts with, his favorite animal are pandas. And then it goes on to talk about how Yuzu is his idol and shit.
But who cares at that point? His favorite animal are pandas.
First of all, the grammar of that, deeply questionable.
Yeah, well, it's like, what's your favorite animal? Pandas. Many. Just one panda? Not for me. Gotta have a couple in there.
Every single panda.
How do you choose? A real true panda lover would never pick favorites. And that's how we know he's the real one.
Sota Yamamoto was also there.
He was. It was not his best competition, but, you know, he had been having quite a few good ones. He had a pretty good streak recently, so hopefully this was just a little fluke for him.
Yeah, who knows?
Shall we take a break?
Yeah, let's break.
Welcome to the break.
Wow.
Do you feel welcome?
Do you feel welcome? Would you like some tea or a drink? Some, I don't know, gingerbread cookies or something?
No, you don't, because you're not going to stay for long. You just, it's one of those things where you came here and you're like, yeah, I just want to get in and out and get back to what we were doing before. So we'll try and be quick. So this is the part where we tell you that we have a Patreon if you want to support us monetarily, help us keep the lights on and help us help other people. You can go to patreon.com/icetpod. We donate a portion of our Patreon earnings to mutual aid projects and charities that we care about. And we also use it to sort of, you know, pay for hosting and keep the metaphorical lights on. So you can donate $1 or $5 or $7 a month. And at the different tiers, you get different perks. And some of the perks are over a year's worth of bonus content, episodes, videos, you know, things that can keep you entertained during this weird, probably kind of boring holiday season.
Also, for absolutely free, you could head over to the podcast tab, the illustrious purple icon, and give us 5 stars and leave us a review, which really, really helps. Also, really makes me happy. So if you want to get your favorite podcast host, which I'm sure is us, just a nice Christmas present, but you don't want to spend your hard-earned cash on us, 5 stars. Completely free and extremely festive.
Okay, you don't want to stay? You don't want a cookie for the road? Okay, well, we'll see you next time. All right, welcome back.
It's ladies.
I'm going to put on my Saoirse Ronan cosplay and say, I just think that women...
Women. Yes, women.
Yeah, women really showed up to this event. And we were missing, you know, the Japanese ladies' field is deep as hell. And we were missing some very notable names such as Satoko Miyahara and Riga Kihira, who are both training abroad and thus were not here or eligible for this. But it mixed up the field just enough that some very interesting things could happen.
Yeah.
In bronze, we sort of mentioned her earlier, is Rino Matsuike, or as the announcer repeatedly called her, Rino Matsuwiki, which is when you look up on Wikipedia what matza is, and you find out that it is bread with no yeast. And then you end up down a wormhole of kosher things and lose a few hours of your life. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone who's celebrating.
Happy Hanukkah to everyone, even those who aren't celebrating. Rino did a wonderful job and was very much going to be competing in the juniors, and then surprise, came in Rod Senior's, like, running trend.
I just need to talk about her fashion because it's exceptional. Both of her dresses, the stunning variations on pink, but especially the free skate one, is the most dreamy skate costume I've seen in my entire life. It's, I don't know if you remember, it's this like multi-layered pink skirt which looks like a birthday cake. And it's just so good. I don't know how it thematically made sense with anything else she was doing, but I appreciated it so much. I thought it was beautiful.
It was very like quinceañera, but make it a Japanese figure skating costume. I really like that aesthetic.
Yes, that's exactly it. It has like the opulence and like youth and saturation of a quinceañera dress, but with the like elegance and multi-layered beauty that I've come to expect from a Japanese figure skating costume. It was really pretty, is what I'm saying.
And she did a beautiful job. Really lovely. She skated her short program to the color purple, which I'm like, is this a thing you should be skating to? I don't know.
Probably not.
But
yeah.
Okay, so free skating, Perhaps Love.
Perhaps.
Performed by Jonathan and Charlotte, apparently originally performed by John Denver and Placido Domingo. I was not aware of that happened in culture and in history.
Yeah, I had no idea, but apparently.
It peaked at number 22 on the U.S. Adult Contemporary chart.
It's another one of those choices where I'm like, how did this 16-year-old girl and her team arrive at this choice? I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad choice.
Her team is that she is coached and choreographed by Mihoko Higuchi, who I always get so stoked when I see, because after she and Shoma parted ways, I just missed her beautiful face. and we know that she loves like an unconventional cover. You know, with the Spanish guitar Stairway to Heaven for Shoma and whatnot.
I'm watching selections from this free right now, and I'm here to tell you that there is also a layer of, like, a neon peach
in this skirt as well. In this skirt.
It reminds me of, like, I don't know if you had these in Bulgaria, but, like, at least in my neck of the woods, we had those, like, catalogs of, like, really outrageous prom dresses that would come to in the mail every spring.
No. No.
It was, like...
That sounds like something I would fucking, like, eat up.
Oh, yeah. Like, we should just actually try and get some sent to our house now. Because they don't know we're not teens. I say this as though we live together. We were talking the other day. We're like, what if we had a content house? When we get our content
not
house,
just, like,
we'll...
what if we were roommates? What if we had a content house?
I didn't really know what that meant, but I think we should get one and subscribe to prom magazines. 2021, that's the dream. That's the new dream as soon as we get vaccinated.
Yeah, we get vaccinated and then we move out to, like, a small town. We buy a cheap house. And we get subscriptions to prom magazines.
Cottagecore is over. Now it's about, like, you invest suburban in mom real core. Estate. Suburban mom teen core. I guess I'm the mom because I'm older and you can be the teen.
I'm going to be a problematic teen. I will, like, sneak out and, like, say, like, whatever, you're not my real mom. And, like, slam my door shut.
And I'll be like, yeah, I'm not.
You're going to be like, yeah, correct.
Anyway, congratulations, Reno. Wakaba Higuchi came in second, got her silver medal. You love to see it.
You do. She also technically became the, 12th woman to land her triple axel in international competition. Jackie was like, no one's, like, counting this anymore officially, but it sure happened. I think it counts.
It was so good to see. Yeah, and it was, I believe, the only landed triple axel in the ladies' field at this competition, right? There were a few attempts, but Wakaba was the only one who landed.
Yes, correct. She just looked so good. Just fucking delightful. I'm still sad that we had to cancel Sia.
Not a day goes by that I'm not upset that we had to cancel Sia. It's a huge blow, but I agree with the cancellation, but I actually really like Wakaba's new costume for this.
Yes. It's like a dark blue, like, navy with straps situation. It looks like denim. It has an open shoulder and it has, like, finger... It has one sleeve. That one sleeve is, like, a fingerless glove situation with, like, a separate, like, thumb hole and the thing.
Yeah, this is everything I love in fashion. I love it, and I'm glad that it's not the black and white airbrushed thing anymore, because that was hurting my soul. This is stunning, beautiful job. The Frisky, I believe she kept...
Yeah, she kept Poeta, but she is now doing her new dress, is a more traditional red and black, clappy and sloppy situation. And I would be upset, because I thought the purple last year was fucking inspired as an alternative, but I also do think that this is very, very beautiful. So I think it's allowed.
I agree. It's as black and red goes, it's nice.
Yes, correct.
And it's hard to, Wakaba could kind of make anything look great. She just has a big presence on the ice and it's just beautiful.
Agreed. I'm watching a little bit of it again now. This dress has, like, the nude panel, which goes from, like, the neckline down, goes all the way down to the very bottom of the skirt, which I don't think I've ever seen before. And it sure is a choice.
I've seen that a couple of times just this season, where it's like the dress doesn't close all the way. Like, if it wasn't for the mesh, it wouldn't have structural integrity. And
yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's I don't have opinions on it yet. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It just is neutral for me. But I have been taking note
exists.
Of it.
Yeah.
It just exists.
I don't know. I'm always thrilled when we see Wakaba performing the way she performed this time around. She had a bit of a shaky time in the free after the triple axel, which they did question, and I do want to fight them on it, but it's fine. Yeah, she had a shaky time for the rest of it, and she was fourth in the free, but things worked out overall. And honestly, like, from when the entries were announced, I was convinced that she was going to be somehow on this podium, either silver or gold. So this feels earned and correct.
It does. And something else that feels earned and correct is first place gold medal going to Kaori Sakamoto.
I was so happy. Like, it was one of those moments where I remember, like, this sounds so cheesy, but just, like, remembering, like, being extremely fucking excited over figure skating, because I stan so incredibly hard, and she just killed. She just showed up and went so hard.
It was just, like, finally, like, this is what we've wanted to see from Kaori, and, like,
yeah.
It's just funny to me that every time Kaori skates, Netta turns into a wife guy.
Okay, listen.
Sorry, I kicked my microphone. I don't blame you at
all. That's karma.
It is. That's, yeah. No, it was just incredible.
So I love her so much.
We saw a new short program, which, look, we've loved No Roots. We loved it. It's iconic. It's going down in history as one of our favorite short programs. But I don't think Kaori loved it. And I think she loves this new one. And if it's getting her gold, then good. And her costume is stunning.
Valid. It's so pretty. And also, like, I think it builds a very interesting contrast with the Free, which she did keep the Matrix. I think it shows, like, very much, like, the two different sides of her ability. I was talking to my coach. I sent her Kaori's Matrix, and she was trying to criticize it a little bit. She was like, she has, like, so much power and she's such a good jumper, but she's not, and that's my coach's word, she was like she's not, like, extremely, like, you know, feminine and graceful. And I was like, yes but no, because what she does is she's extremely good at, like, adapting to different kinds of music. So then I showed her Kaori's short and she was like, okay, yes, I see the point you're trying to make. And the point I'm trying to make is that Kaori is, like, extremely versatile and can do any style, and it's always great.
Get you a Kaori who can do both. She did a Amen. Beautiful Bach short program, also mixed in with, like, a jazzy Bach, a Bach a la jazz, as it is called. Correct. The costume, it reminded me a little tiny bit of Liza Tektomisheva's costume that we were really wild about, that it's kind Ooh. Of, like, these, like, blush tone, pinky, purpley yes. nude. That seems to be in this season that I'm all about.
Yeah, correct. I'm into it. The, like, millennial pink, if you will.
Yeah, really pretty. And I think you're right. I think, you know, leading up to last season, we had seen a lot of really beautiful, classical, traditional, feminine, flowy, balletic Kaori. And as exciting as it was to see something more contemporary and edgy from her, I think it's good that she's got the contrast. She's got the two contrasting monologues, as we would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much two contrasting monologues.
If she's got both, she should show both.
I do want to say, I'm sure she was frustrated with herself last year, but I'm extremely grateful that she did not perform the Matrix the way she did just now at IDF last year, because I would not have survived seeing this perfect performance live.
Yeah, you would have died, and it's awkward when you die in a foreign country, because, you know.
Yeah, that would be hard for, like, everyone involved, and I was by myself, and, like, no one around me speaks Bulgarian, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, this was perfect. Like, we've been waiting for this program to look like this.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to say, I think a lot of people will tell you that the judges had, like, a panel in front of them for COVID reasons. And I want to just put out there, I think that we all know the real reason why they felt the need to put a barrier between themselves and Kaori Sakamoto and this free skate. And it is because they did not want their necks sliced by that perfect fan spiral.
It's a shield. They sew the cheese keeping this program, and they were like, oh shit, like, let's come up with an idea, some solid reasoning to save us.
Yeah, what else can you say? And of course, I'm so thrilled that she kept the costume, because as we said over and over last season, it's the perfect costume. You can't top it. There's no improvements to be made. And I'm glad they recognized that and didn't try to, like, put a hat on a hat.
No, it's perfect. I still think the fucking green crystals are the smartest interpretation of, like, theme in a costume.
I want to nominate that costume for an Emmy. And I don't know how we can do that, but because skating appears on television, I feel like it should qualify. Yeah, so honorable mentions. We, of course, have to talk about fourth place finisher Mai Mihara, who came back after a long time away because of health concerns. She was very sick. She had arthritis and I think some other stuff. I don't know. She just was not feeling well. And then COVID happened. And so it's just been a long time since we've seen her. And she was such a wonderful presence in, like, two seasons ago. She won the Universiade.
I think she had a very good story of, like, I don't want to say like personal triumph or something, but hers was a story that I was interested in following through in this event, because she ended up 7th in the short, and it was kind of like the shaky, like, oh, you know, she's coming back, but it's kind of, you know, not perfect. And then she was 3rd in the free. She had a very good time in the free, and I was happy to see it.
Yeah, and she, her free skate is Fairy of the Forest, and, like, how perfect. Yes. She skates in, like, a Tinkerbell fairy forest, like, absolutely perfect for her. She just has that, like, sprite kind of energy. She's so, like, warm and charming, and even though, okay, like, she came in 7th in the short, like, she finished skating, and the crowd, like, standing ovation, went crazy. Yes. She was crying. It was so nice. It was, like, a homecoming for, like, an audience favorite.
You know, I'm always a sucker for, like, a sweet moment of understanding between the audience and the performer. Fairy of the Forest is another Lauri Nicole banger.
She's feeling her, like, arboreal fantasy this year.
I respect that. I respect that. I think, given the state of the world, we all need the escapism of just classic fantasy.
Mako Yamashita did really well. She came in 3rd in the short, which was really good for her. And, like, Yuhana Yokoi was there. Marin Honda was there. Marin continues to be criminally underscored in PCS. What else absolutely. Is new?
Yes, absolutely.
Not a booger in the bunch, as they say, in this lineup. But what I really want to say is the surprise of the event was Young Yu coming in last in the short program, which was devastating and, like, so surprising, because I remember when we were following the saga of, like, announcements of who was going to be at what event, originally Young Yu was not going to be at NHK, and we were like, okay, Kaori's going to win. Yeah. And then she was announced that she was going, and I remember Netta being like, RIP Kaori's gold.
Yeah, I definitely said that, because Young Yu has, like, some like, she has her axel and she's a very consistent performer, and last year she was the kind of person that she would just show up and win things, and I think we've kind of come to expect a level of performance from her, and I think she surprised herself with that short. I think it just wasn't clicking for unknown reasons, and it was surprising and kind of sad. But then she was 5th in the free. She triumphantly returned with another Lord of the Rings banger by Lauri Nicole.
Lauri Nicole, I'm sorry, Lauri Nicole, like, discovered high fantasy this year.
She truly did. I respect it. I wonder if she's been, like, listening to, like, audiobooks and she's like, oh shit, this is a whole thing.
I'm picturing her sitting around her house, like, drinking tea and, like, has wearing elf ears, and, like, she's changed her whole house to be, like, forest themed.
It has a circular door like a hobbit house.
Oh yeah, Lauri Nicole's hobbit hole.
I love that fantasy for her. But yeah, Young Yu, like, really returned with that free skate. And kind of similarly to Mai, who didn't have a perfect short and then did much better in the free. I always admire the strength it chose to be like, okay, I've had a bad time. It's not who I am. Let's do another one. And rising above, like, honestly, a disappointing performance. Like, there's no beating around the bush. I'm sure she was disappointed to be 12th out of 12 people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's worst case scenario, is you go in thinking you're going to win and then you come in last after the short. Like, there's kind of no way to save that. And she, I think coming back, it's always tough when you see somebody who was, like, predicted to win, and then they, you know, the free skate, they're in the first warm-up group, and it's just always, it's a little surreal and weird, but yeah, good for her for, like, shaking it off and continuing. It's an important lesson to learn, I think, as a young skater.
Yeah, I agree. I think overall, I will not remember this event as, like, disappointing for her, just because of how she carried herself after the disappointing first half.
She's also the only non-Japanese competitor at that event. She does train there, and so I assume she lives there a lot of the time. Yeah. But still, we were saying this about, like, other events too, where when so much of it is domestic and then, like, you're the only foreigner, it must be, like, kind of weird too.
Yeah, I would imagine it probably is kind of strange.
Aside from that, the ladies was much less heartbreaking and disappointing than the men's. I think, like, more people had, like, triumphant, wonderful experiences than was the case in the men's field.
Yeah. I think this is not the first time we've seen in any country or any field the boys be just slightly more chaotic in terms of, you know, risk and reward. And then the girls just being more consistently not unhinged is what I'm going to go with.
Hinged. Hinged, we'll say.
Hinged.
Now, normally on this program, we don't talk about ice dance, but this was a very notable ice dance event. First of all, there were no pairs at this competition because Japan doesn't really have a strong pairs field and, you know, they weren't shipping people in. So with ice dance, it was the big grand premiere of the new Japanese ice dance team, Kana Morimoto and Daisuke Takahashi. Daisuke obviously had formerly been the legendary single skater, retired and went to ice dance.
Truly, yes. What Daisuke is trying to do is like something that you would make a Christmas movie about. Like, if you told me, oh yeah, this guy has like won every single thing he can possibly win as a single skater, and now in his mid-30s he's decided to be an ice dancer, I would be like, you don't know how figure skating works. Do some research. But then, like, it seems to be working for real in real life.
I think it's interesting. I had, like, it was bittersweet and I had mixed feelings about it because I obviously really wanted them to succeed and I love Daisuke and I, like, want this to work for him for a lot of reasons. But then also, like, the narrative is essentially that the Fed is, like, really hoping for them to be the Olympic hopefuls coming up. And, like, it's kind of sucks because, like, obviously we stand Team Coco, Tim Coletto, and Misato Komatsubara for so many reasons. They're so wonderful on the ice. They're super chill, funny, awesome people. And it's tough to see them work so hard in this discipline year after year after year. And, like, Tim, like, work so hard to get his citizenship and all this stuff. And then the Fed be like, nope, just kidding. We're putting new people in who, one of whom has never ice danced before. And we're going to try and send them instead of you. Like, that must really suck. I have to, there's no two ways about it.
Yeah. Like, all respect to Kana and Daisuke. I'm sure that, like, Misato and Tim are better people than I am. I would be pissed, like, low-key. Just because it's such a compelling narrative from, like, an outside perspective to be like, oh, you know, like, Daisuke wants to be the first person to go to the Olympics in two different disciplines, like, whatever. But that's not what the Olympics are for. Like, you should be able to go to the Olympics if you've worked steadily very hard in one discipline for a very long time, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I wish they had two slots, but I don't think they do.
That would be ideal. Oh, and now that we've mentioned bronze and gold, we should probably mention Rikako Fukase and Eiichi Ucha as well, just because they came in second.
They did come in second. There were three couples. Three pairs. Okay, well, Kana and Dai did ice dance to The Mask, which was a weird choice, but it was very charming, and they did a really good job, and it was kind of best of both worlds for me because they went out, they did a really good job, nothing terrible happened, no one, like, you know, had any disasters, but also they came in third behind two couples who've been working really hard at this discipline for a long time, and Misato and Tim won as, like, the seasoned top ice dance team of Japan. Like, that feels just to me.
It's kind of funny to me that Kana and Dai, like, podiumed kind of de facto just because it was three pairs competing. So now they can, like, if Dai wants his double discipline kind of world records, he can be like, well, I'm the first person to fucking podium at Grand Prix events in two disciplines. Because that technically happened.
Is he the first? Oh my god, this lady from Chicago who keeps pretending to be from the CDC is calling me again.
Has she won several disciplines? Because if she has not, I'm not interested.
Yeah, he's the first Japanese man.
I do want to say...
No, I don't know. He's the first Japanese man. Before that, it was just women in Japan.
Good for him. I do want to say that I have spoken about this on this podcast before, and I will talk about it again. I fucking hate The Mask. I think it's a garbage franchise and I have no interest in anything related to it, and I hate it. And given, like, all of the narrative that we're talking about, you know, like, the historic moment that this was, I thought it, like, doing your debut as a pair to The Mask is a
deeply chaotic choice. It sounds like a Mad Libs.
It does.
To be like, oh yeah, Kana Muramoto and Daisuke Takahashi are gonna do ice dance and they're gonna skate to the mask. Sounds like something that, like, a bot generated.
So I don't know how they arrived at that choice, but good for them, I guess.
I just want to shout out Alexander Mayorov, because we could never talk about skating to the mask without talking about the man, the myth, the legend. I know what you're thinking, listeners. You said, surely there's no way in the year of our Lord 2020 on this NHK trophy episode that we will be talking about Alexander Mayorov. And yet...
Surprise, bitch.
Surprise, bitch. Bet you thought you'd seen the last of me. Now I need to make that meme where it's him in his yellow mask suit.
Wait. This episode is already off the rails. I know we're not going to talk about Italian nationals. So since we're talking about that weird European costumes, can I just talk about Daniel Grasso for a hot second?
Oh, yeah. I was going to say we need to tag a little bit of Italy into this episode, considering that it happened and we're never going to do a full episode on it. Yeah, I need to talk about Italians. Daniel Grasso has not one but two absolutely batshit insane costumes. God bless him.
Yeah, see, the thing is, they repeated what happened last year with Matteo coming in second and Daniel winning. I need to talk about Daniel Grasso's Joker, because I think it's criminal.
I actually haven't seen this program, but I have seen the costume because you sent it to me the second that it was posted on Instagram, because it was like an international crisis.
Megan, for longtime listeners who follow me on Twitter, hi, yes, this is the costume that I was tweeting about that is just a fucking crime. And it's not, for once, it's not like racist or offensive in any way. It's just bad. And you know that I'm like a sucker for like anything Benoit Rashad does, like ever in his life. However, the fact that him and Daniel cooked up this Joker fantasy, it's just profoundly upsetting to me. It's, for those of you who have not seen it, it's a Joker costume with a reveal. It's like, it brings you back to Little Russian Ladies last year, in that he starts out in like a suspender kind of, you know, like Joker waistcoat kind of situation, and then it unclips in the shoulders, and it becomes this tunic with essentially the Joker's like face on it.
Is it, where on Instagram can I find like pictures of it?
In our DMs.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It just says like a story that is gone, and then just a message from Netta that says, I have seen hell.
It's extremely bad. Just go on Grasso's Instagram. You know, we've seen some things. My national pride and joy, Larry Lopelover, did a Joker program last year, which was a choice, but it was like a good like comic book choice. And Alexander Samrin did his Joker X with the mask and everything. I think both of those are tame choices. I think Alexander Samrin's fucking weird face back blouse is a tame choice compared to the garbage that's happening here. And I'm usually not this mean on this show, and I admire and respect three-time national champion Daniel Grasso extremely. I just can't be quiet about this crime of a costume anymore.
It's airbrushed. I hate the Mickey Mouse gloves. Ugh.
Also, this might be just because I have studied costume design and I'm also a drag performer, but you don't want your reveal to be obvious. And when you see that waistcoat, it's kind of obvious. And then, like, when it flops down, you can very clearly see the seam where it attaches to become that. It's, like, halfway through the Joker's face. I just have questions, man. Matteo did a very good Greatest Showman. That was great.
Yeah. And I do want to say, in Daniel's defense, his short program costume is
exquisite.
It is bondage gear, and I don't know how to say that any other way. It is fully
there's a lot of harnesses. I think, like, the nice way to describe it would be, and this is just because Megan and I just finished watching The Umbrella Academy season 2, it looks like he's cosplaying Diego, just because it's, like, long sleeve black, like, full turtleneck, but also a harness. Which is respectable. It's better than the Joker.
It's just
It also,
so,
I think, has mesh paneling.
You know, because we joke a lot on this television show. Anytime anyone has a harness, we're like, oh, it's like a BDSM costume, you know? I take all of that back. This one is the one. This is, there's no, there's, like, everything else seems tame in comparison.
How you, like, produce this costume without using a bunch of harnesses as reference. Like, if you were to sketch this for, like, a costume design thing, you would have to be looking at a bunch of, like, leather work.
How do you... I'm curious about... I guess if it's the same costume designer for both, we already know that there's a lot of logical leaps being made here that a sane person wouldn't make, but I'm curious how you look at this cherubic little angel-faced boy who looks like a haunted doll came to life, and you think... That's a leather daddy.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's the Muse. It's a Muse program. Maybe whoever designed it listened to Muse and was like, oh, that's hot.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not going to kink shame you for thinking Muse is, like, sexy music.
Sex music.
Because it's predominantly, like, synth pop about a fictional dystopian war. That's what gets your rocks
that's sexy.
Off.
That's okay. Sexy. This is the end of this episode. I'm calling it here. Do we have anything else to say?
No, we don't. Stay tuned for our coverage of the various nationals events that are coming up, and we hope you have a wonderful and safe holidays, and thanks for joining us for our coverage of this Grand Prix that sort of was and sort of wasn't, and you know, we hope you had a good time. We had a good time, and everyone had a good time.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Everyone had a great time. Thank you guys so much for joining us for this. Happy holidays. Stay safe. And in the meantime, if you miss us an extreme amount, Megan, where can people find you on the internet if they just want to talk to you about Muse?
You can find me on Twitter at MeganKelleher3. You can also find me there on Instagram and... I don't know why I said and, that's it. That's the only places I am. What about you, Netta?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Netta Marie. That's NEDA and then just Marie, like any other Marie. You can also find me on Instagram at N_ice skating, like Netta ice skating or nice skating. I've been lucky enough to be able to train safely in the past month and a half or so. And I've been posting about my skating journey. So that's fun. And you can find both of us on Twitter and Instagram at IcedPod. You can also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/IcedPod for bonus content and fun things and to support us and support us supporting other people in need. Megan, do you want to give us a list of incredible, wonderful, beautiful people who've already helped us keep the lights on?
I sure do, Netta. I'm going to pull the list up now. And those people are Barbara, Nikki, Joseph, Red, Susan, KM, in spirit I am always throwing plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Julia, Danny, and Jordan. Thank you so much, all these wonderful people. I know what you're thinking. How do I get in on that? You just give us $1 a month. That's it.
$1 and Megan will gently speak your name into a microphone several times a month. Thank you guys so much for being here with us.
This has been an episode. It sure has. Bye.
Bye. Stay safe.